When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates, and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
Take command, instant reaction show. And so a funny thing happened during the instant reaction show. I forgot to unmute the microphones. So the first 12 minutes or so of the show on the live stream had no sound. Eventually, I was like, man, that seems like a lot of comments. Let me click over. Oh, everyone's saying there's no sound. So we're going to pick up the show from the live stream with where we, you know, obviously turned the sound on. Apologies to those of you who caught it live and all the great observations that Logan made and whatever else I said is just... We heard it. It was really smart, but it's gone. It's gone forever to technology hell. But appreciate y'all always for listening. And here was the version of the show that everyone could hear. So, Logan, I have terrible news for you.
What?
The first 12 minutes of that show, apparently there was no sound on the internet.
Oh, wow.
So here's what I'd like to do real quick. We're not gonna all of a sudden make ourselves go
Did you not turn it on?
No, I think when we were moving things around, something got it muted.
Yeah.
Because, like, I can hear it. Let me tell you, that guy, he's really smart. The things he said,
great.
I don't know. Let's recap some of the stuff we talked about.
Yeah.
Let's hit some of the high notes, and then we'll get out of here. And we will have a full schedule this week for you guys. So we'll have the full tape review on Tuesday. I know it's the holiday week. We'll have a preview on Thursday. So, look, nothing transformative here. The headline of the game is that Jaden Daniels was spectacular.
Yeah.
The way he managed the game, the competitiveness, the fight, all of that stuff to overcome the turnovers, to just continue to play, the confidence that this team had. What stuck out to you, and what was different than maybe, you know, or I want to ask you what's different than some of the guys that you may have played with or whatever. What's the same from the best guys that you played with that you see today in Jaden?
So the best version of a quarterback that I played with was Deshaun Watson when I was in Houston. Like, the best version of that guy. And one of the things that made him just absolutely special, the second you got in the huddle, any situation, it was like, we got it. Any situation, his ability to create off schedule, his ability to manage 2 minutes, his ability to find first downs on fourth and longs, that was something that I had never seen that before in a quarterback. That just the physical ability in a combination with the mentality. And when I watched him today, that's what it felt like at times, right? The moment's never too big. The window's never too small. It's never too tight to squeeze through and get that first down. And literally just kind of having that that Michael Jordan-esque ability of just, and I said that before, of just like making a play when you got to make it. It was special. Like, fourth and four, conversion. Fourth and 11, conversion. Five touchdowns. Staring down Terry for an explosive play when you have an unblocked rusher in your face because it's a four-man overload. Delivering like a perfect ball, right? Reading the coverage out on the last touchdown of the game, understanding the coverage, buying a little bit of time, strike right down the middle on a throw that you missed earlier to Luke and threw a pick on, like unfazed. And it felt like let's put the ball in his hands and he's going to make us right. And there are very few players like that's the one player, Deshaun Watson. I know he's got a lot of stuff going on now.
This is pre all that stuff when he was like the third best quarterback in the league.
Right. And that's what it felt like today. And I'm not in the huddle. I don't know what it's like, but the vibe, the body language just felt so similar. And again, there's a long way to go to say he's the guy, but these are the types of games, in my opinion, where, like last week we talked about with New Orleans, how there was like this great technical ability with the quarterback position. My eyes are manipulating coverage. This one I felt like it was just like baller mode. Like, this is what I can do. Watch out. And I think you see a healthier version of him. You see the ball velocity, and there's a
snap to his play.
And you just I think I forgot, like from earlier in the season, like what that looked like.
Yeah. I think the other thing that really blew me away about his performance today was there's a couple moments where he pressed. There's like two or three plays that I think of, both interceptions. And then there was a third interception, the one that he forces to Terry where it pops up in the air and then winds up hitting the ground.
You know what's funny is I didn't actually have a hard time. I didn't hate that throw. Because, again, like the way Philly plays that coverage, you got to kind of be aggressive to that. And Terry got his hands on the ball. Even the interception of Luke, like I left that interception being like, I like the process. That's where the ball should go. He misses the throw, right?
The first one. The last one,
he's for sure pressing. And you're like, because like,
it's
I was
late
watching,
over the middle,
I
yeah.
was I was watching, there was like a little choice route, and like, you know,
Nichols had it,
and you're like, just throw that ball.
It's literally the route he had thrown on the previous play.
Yeah, and you're just like, huh. And so, obviously, this is not going to be perfect film to evaluate, but it's the playmaking ability, I think, that was just, like, it was the opposite of New Orleans. Like, you saw playmaking ability, and you saw the Terry touchdown, all that stuff, but it was like a full pendulum swing. Like, when I'm in my bag, this is what I can do.
So, I think that the play, the near interception, right?
Yeah.
He locks on Terry. Like, you have this feeling like Terry hasn't been targeted for a while. It's a big play. Let me go to Terry. Everybody knows it. And maybe the coverage ultimately when we watch it back on film.
Yeah.
You saw it
live. I was like, I don't hate that.
Yeah. Maybe that was the right throw, but just the way he locked on. But I believe that was 3rd and 11. And I think the 4th and 11 is the next play.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
It'd just be like, you want to know what? I'm not going to force a ball. I'm going to make a play. And he goes and runs for 30 yards. The late interception to Luke, you give him another, like, if I'm him on the sideline, I'm like, go ahead, give me another chance. Mm-hmm. Like, and there's a lot of like athletes that I think have, I'm going to call it arrogance to say like, go ahead, give me another chance, try me. And it's arrogance because they're not going to do it the second time around. They're going to wind up making the same mistake. They're going to double down, whatever. For Jaden, it's true. It's not arrogance. It's confidence. And that's a fine line. And basically the how you wind up on either end of that line is like, can you actually do it or not?
Yeah.
And for him, like, he has supreme confidence in his ability because he's put in the work and he does it. And the confidence they have in him. I mean, talking to Terry, he's almost emotional talking about it because
I bet with him 100%.
Yeah, like the quarterbacks that he's played with, and like, it's been hard, and like, that dude is super competitive. And you know, we talked about this with John Allen a little bit over the years too, when he's kind of like seemingly emotionally punted at times. Mm. Like, that is a human reaction to just guys that have won a lot that are super competitive in a situation where they know they can't control the outcome fully and they're losing, and they almost like turtle and shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see those guys be able to come out and fully embrace it. And Terry talked with me about like, this group has allowed him to be himself in a way that he never has here. Like, that unlocks the absolute best in people. And so I think you combine that with the extreme attention to detail in winning time moments, to use their phrase.
Yeah.
And that is how you get an under-talented team to overperform based off their record, because the NFL is a league where so many games are one-score games.
Yep.
And so how do you make it so that, there's a lot of one-score games, but often the team, like the better team, winds up winning. It's not like they're toss-ups. So how do you get on the wrong side of the toss-up? And I feel like those are the keys to how they've been able to do it.
No, I think that's 100% right. It's just reps and feeling confident in what they can do and a belief in what they can do. And, you know, I think back to when Robert was here in 12, that was another time where I felt very confident in the quarterback and the whole team felt confident in the quarterback. And that belief in that position is super inspiring. It makes you, again, kind of punch above your weight class. And I think when you see performances like last week, like last week, like this week, where he's the driver of the offense in a way that we haven't seen him be this year. Usually there's, you're getting really good support from the run game. You know, obviously the Cincinnati game is one that comes to mind where he was excellent. But, you know, we're running the football well. We're playing okay defense. He makes plays when he has to. But this one, it was like play. The offense wasn't going to work without him. And so I do think it's the repetition in the winning time moments, like the 2 minute, the third down, the second and long, all those moments, right? But it's also like you just trust that guy. You just trust him to make a play. And that's how I felt about Robert in 12. That's how I felt about Matt Ryan when I was in Atlanta. Like, you just are like, that dude's going to figure it out. And it's cool that he's 24 years old, 25 years old.
Yeah, he just turned 24, I believe.
And he's got that kind of vibe to him already. And again, like, being good in the NFL is not, it's a week-to-week thing, right? Like, next week he might have a terrible game. We might not be saying this about him. But the thing about him that is also inspiring is that each week he seems to level up and learn something. Like, you're just putting something in an AI computer, a little AI football computer, and he just processes it and you get the best result. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. The other thing, too, that I think was great today is they found these explosive plays down the field.
And which we talked about,
like,
right?
Yeah. One of them, by the way, like, the recognition, I mean, I don't know how much of it's like, we can intellectualize this, or he can just be like, OZ was wide open and like he saw it and they made a throw because he was wide open. But like, I think that Eagles were in man coverage. They had 12 dudes on the field. Darius Slay tries to get off at the last second, and he's the dude that would have had OZ. And I find it hard to believe that he was the guy that was the 12th guy.
Yeah.
Like, almost like they were yelling, we got 12, and Darius was the closest one. He's like, okay, I'll go off the field. And so sure enough, they drop OZ in coverage, and bang, finds it. But the composure there, because sometimes you overthrow that guy. Like, he's so open, you overthrow him, or you get through the process.
Or you drop the ball. Like, I've seen that happen a million times. Good throw, drop the ball. So good job by Ozzie, good job by Jayden Daniels. I think those plays, that play's great. That's an exceptional play. But to me, in terms of shots and explosive.
I mean, the Terry touchdown.
The Terry one.
Insane.
The explosive to Diami. Like, I just.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get those opportunities if the O-line's not playing great. But that's exactly the thing that kills this type of defense, right? When you can get them out of kind of their, so in these zone defenses, right? One of the things that makes them good is you get guys that are kind of playing man coverage, but they really are in a zone, so their eyes are somewhere else, and they, because of the rush, they can get to those other spots and make plays. When the protection holds up and the quarterback can deliver excellent passes down the field, they're going to be a little bit out of position because they're not expecting that. They don't have to deal with that. And so that was one thing that in the broadcast, just watching their defense kind of loosen up after that, was something huge. And it was, and they were just straight go balls delivered with great accuracy. And you think about the two they missed last week, or the three they missed last week, hit them both this week, and all of a sudden you're in a good spot to be successful.
All right, let's hit the defense real quick on the way out. Obviously, Frankie Louvu, the interception early, is tremendous play. He kind of baits Pickett into it, and that was when the game felt like it was spiraling out of control. So
that's a huge play.
You need your best players to make big plays at key moments, and that is certainly one of them. A winning time moment, if you will, in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Lattimore, that was a tough one. And I think
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, to see the competitiveness of him to continue to fight and he has some plays late, like that is great. I think you also see the volatility of the corner position. You know, when people are saying perhaps other players on this team were the worst corner that you've ever seen in the history of football, like that might have been an overreaction perhaps. And like this is what it looks like when you have great players on the offensive side and rules that favor the offensive player and refs that are kind of inclined to flag offensive or defensive guys. I mean, the first PI, the one that's down the far sideline back there, where Lattimore's like, what the hell, he was holding me. I don't know. If you probably didn't see a replay because you were on the sideline.
I saw a replay because I showed one in the stadium.
Oh, they did. Yeah, so like Brown has Lattimore hooked inside the chest plate.
Yeah.
And that's OPI. Or you could probably actually argue that it should have been like dueling PIs there and just play over the down. But like he clearly, you see the volatility of that position. You see the volatility of that player because I do think at times, like, I mean, the fights with Mike Evans are famous. But he ultimately did make some plays late. And like the ability to continue just consistently competing is great. And then he might be hurt, and we'll have to see where he goes from here. But talk about a whale of a day for Marshon Lattimore in his home debut.
Yeah, and I think I like the way you articulated that, right? It's the volatility of a cornerback position, and that's why it's so hard to evaluate cornerback. That's why it's so hard to draft quarterback. That's why it's so hard to find them in free agency. But what I will say about him is he had a bunch of late wins. There's a crosser to A.J. Brown today where A.J. Brown's got him beat. Ball's a little bit late. He's able to punch the ball out. There's the third and two down at that end over there where he's able to punch the ball out. Those are huge wins in this game. And I think a couple things about him. One, obviously the DPIs, that's something you got to work through. And again, Dan in the presser said we're going to send him in. I'd be curious about the second one specifically. I didn't think there was a lot of contact on the second one.
No.
But what I will say is he's brought an energy and a competitiveness which shows up in the secondary. Like he's talking a little bit of mess to A.J. Brown. Like he's got Quan talking mess. And I think it's going to help that whole group. It's going to help the whole defense to bring that kind of that competitive juice that Dan talks about. And it does stuff to you, right? If the guy can back it up, which I think in this game he did to a certain extent, it's going to elevate everybody, not just from the play, but from the mindset. And so that's where I was like, that's kind of cool. And again, in a day where he's struggling, to get out there and be like, yeah, this is mine. I got this. Like, I'm going to do what I can to get this done, was a big deal, and I think reflects kind of a shift in kind of this Adam Peters approach to building a roster. Like, we want this kind of competitor,
right?
And it's going to bring out the competitor of everybody else. So in a day where he kind of struggled, I did think he made some plays. Was it a perfect day? No, but that's
but A.J. Brown might be the best receiver in football.
Second best probably.
It's him, J.J., and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
Like, those are the three.
Yeah. And so that's what you – and, like, I had a fight with Fred about this. I was like, there's no defense for a perfect offensive play when that guy's running the play. You know what I mean? And you can talk about how good Marshon Lattimore is, and we talked about that last week, how good he was, his athleticism, his physicality, his instincts, his communication, all those things. But when that guy's out there, you can't defend it. Like, you can't really do it. You know what I'm saying? And I think you saw that today. Yeah. But the moments where he did do his thing and was aggressive and did make plays were huge. Because in this game, like, the both of those were on third down. You know what I mean? And they're huge moments where they got a punt afterwards. So that's something you got to kind of tip your hat to that.
100%. And you talk about, like, the finish. Bobby Wagner, the play on Saquon, finishing that. And I'll also say, you know, there's been a ton of times this year that we get on these shows and it's like, where was Daron Payne? Payne had a bunch of plays in the backfield today.
Payne and Jerzon, I thought, both had really good days. Carl Davis had a good day from the interior. Holmes, that kind of in inside-outside defensive end, had a really solid day setting edges. Cleveland Farrell showed up quite a bit today.
Man, if they could have gotten that sack fumble, we could have had a lot less stress today.
Yeah, but that play was so cool to me because one of the things about play action on first and second down is it's really hard to identify the pass. And this dude looks down the line, points to the sky, widens to a 9, and just rushes straight up the field. And as a tight end, I can tell you that's like your worst fear.
Because you know he knows.
You know he knows. And like the whole point of a play action is that he's going to run into you. Like, he's going to think it's a run. You're going to be able to sit on that. But when he gets out there like that, it's like, oh, no. he's seen something. He knows something. And he did a great job. And so, again, that seems like a small moment. It leads to a small thing that leads to a big moment. But that shows me, again, because Dan was talking about making plays on play action against Dallas and, you know, knowing the rusher, knowing the tell, And there's some right there for you. And that's the coaching staff. That's Ryan Kerrigan helping out with stuff. So really, in the second half specifically, that group did a great job, I thought, of flashing and making plays and being physical downhill, Bobby tackling well. And, you know, obviously you mentioned the play by Frankie in the first half.
Yeah. Obviously, we talked a little bit more about the offense in the part of the show that nobody ever heard. So anything else? I feel like we kind of rehashed, though, with everything about Jaden and just the competitiveness of and the stick-to-itiveness of that group. Defensively, kind of talk there. Anything else that we wanted to mention?
Well, I think also you got to give credit to Jameson Crowder and OC, like two veteran guys, and everyone's talking about what are we going to do with Noah Brown, and is Terry going to have to get all these targets? And Terry made plays, but where did that extra playmaking ability come from? And I think you see why OZ's here and why Jameson stuck around through the injury that he had. It's for that veteran savvy, you know, the ability to understand, like, that last play. If you put a rookie in there, I'm not sure you get a touchdown, because, like, it's basically, it plays like Tampa 2. The linebacker's carrying number 3, the third receiver to the offensive left. You switch the tight end and the receiver, right? So now you get someone really fast working up the field. A lot of rookies run straight to the back of the end zone. Jameson does that, but the last second just breaks it over the linebacker's shoulder, and it makes the throw so much easier for Jaden because he can see it. He's manipulated the coverage. Great ball, and that's where that experience comes in that play and that moment from someone who's run it before, and you see the play strength of OZ on the long run. Like, they do have skills, and I think that's where people get so caught up in, like, names. Oh, we got to go out and sign this guy. I got to sign Fitz, and I think that's where you see the value of these Fitz and the experience that they bring, because OZ was a 2 or a 3 last year or 2 years ago in Philly, and Jameson Crowder's been a pseudo 1 at times in his career, right? So they're great ads, and they did a great job today.
Two things on the Crowder play, because I both overheard his conversation that you will see on NBC tonight with Devin McCourty, and then I talked to Jameson one-on-one as well, and apparently Zach told him, like, as they're lining up, Ertz is like, JC, get through there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, hey, like, make sure that you get up the field fast, like that, like you tell that rookie, but not just, like, get up, but get over, get through, get around.
And the ability to tack, like, this is, again, like, I do a lot of college evaluation. The ability to understand, like, the grass that you can own is, again, it's a veteran thing. And so it's a big deal having that guy. And it's also cool that Zach,
who, by the way, was open on the play as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's just cool. It's just good stuff.
The other thing, too, is they ran that play on Friday in their 2-minute section.
Did they really?
And it was like, Jameson was like, yeah, we ran it on Friday. It was our fast Friday. Like, that. And Jaden hit me on the exact same route in the exact same spot. And so, hey, what do you know? What you do in practice might actually make its way into the football game at the biggest of moments. And, well, there was another cool story Jameson told about a game-winning comeback that he was a part of here at this stadium back in the day. But for that, I'm going to make you actually listen to the interview because it was only like 3 minutes long. And if I gave away the entire thing, then why would you have to go listen to that? I also talked to Terry McLaurin about tying the team touchdown record. You can hear that tomorrow on The Hoffman Show. We'll put it up on Twitter as well. We get started on the radio at 4 p.m. with our first and 10. I could probably go the entire 3 hours with observations from this game, but I'll keep it to 10, and then we'll take your calls coming up at 4:30 for Tell the Truth Monday. What a show that is going to be. Logan and I are on regular schedule this week, even though we have Christmas on Wednesday. We'll do our film review on Tuesday, and we will have our preview for you at the end of the week. And we'll be back here.
Prime time.
Yeah, a week from now. We'll have probably been here for a couple hours already. I think Anthony and I might do some parking lot roaming before the game.
Oh, look at you guys. That'll be fun.
It's going to be a vlog day.
we're going to
get the vlog going.
Playoff football.
That's what the Commanders can lock up next week here at Northwest Stadium. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for sticking with us through the tech issues. That's my bad. But hey, just like the Commanders, we just kept going.
We
made some plays at the end. Here we are. And by the way, what a tremendous weekend for the team in general. The RFK miracle.
That was crazy.
I mean, to see something die and then come back to life in the Commanders' favor seems to be the story of the season. Would love to see that continuing, and it certainly did today here at Northwest Stadium. For Logan, I'm Craig, and we will see you Tuesday for the tape review show on Take Command.